There's something quiet and heavy about watching the sun rise from the driver's seat, knowing that you're headed towards someone who needs you, but also knowing you have to leave again. I used to make that drive from Northern Virginia to Hampton like clockwork. Not for work, not for vacation, but for love, for duty, for my father. And every mile felt like a tug of war between where I was needed and where I live. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Caregiver's Lounge. It's Shantae. Whether you're tuning in from your morning commute, your kitchen counter, or a quiet moment between caregiving tasks, I'm so glad you're here. You know, I've always said caregiving isn't just about being present. It's about being persistent. And when distance gets in the way, that persistence becomes a kind of love language. So today, I want to share a chapter from my own story. Not because I have all the answers, but because I know I'm not the only one who's made that drive, felt that ache, or juggled that guilt. Let's talk about what it means to care from afar and how we keep showing up mile after mile. If you've ever had to care for someone you love while living miles away, you know the ache, the guilt, the logistics, the emotional whiplash of being in two places at once. I've been there. For a while, my life was a back and forth highway of love, worry, and exhaustion. This episode is for the long distance caregivers, the ones who show up even when they can't always be there. Let's talk about it. So, before I get into today's topic, I wanted to share how today went for me. Remember the previous episode about caregiver time versus quality time? Well, today I decided to surprise my dad with a visit to our local gaming emporium where they play slots. So that was that expensive self-care thing I was trying to allude to in another episode. I didn't want to tell y'all because y'all could probably judge me, but it's okay. I like playing slots. But I decided to surprise him with a trip to our local gaming emporium. And it was really good quality time. We enjoyed that time together, laughing and yelling at the machines. And he actually did pretty good playing like 75 cents to 80 cents at a time. And between me, you, and a fence pole, you better not tell anybody I told you this, but he sat at this machine and all the buttons weren't working. And the only button that was working was the 80 cents one. And I was like, ooh, this is good. This is good and safe. Well, lo and behold, though, it was working for him. He was actually hitting pretty good, hitting at 80 cents a turn or 80 cents a bet. So we enjoyed that time together. So after that, of course, when I went back to his house, I organized his medication. But for the most part, the visit was, I would say, 80% quality time, 20% caregiving time. And it was just really, really nice because it's usually the other way around. Usually I'm running down there to take care of something. Something's broken. I need to call somebody, figure something out. It was just really nice to just be there and spend time with him. And I think he really enjoyed it too. I took a cute little selfie. Maybe I'll share it. So back to today's topic. I remember the rhythm of those drives. And I remember having to leave at a certain time because you wanted to beat traffic or I had to be in Hampton by a certain time. I'd wake up early. I'd pack my things up and I would hit I-95 like it was my second job. And in many ways, it was. My dad needed help. He had doctor's appointments. We had errands to run. And of course, I would be there for emotional support as needed. I needed to be there. But I also had my life in Northern Virginia. I had a full-time job with responsibilities. And of course, I had bills to pay. And even now, looking back at that, when I was working full-time in a corporate role, I wondered how I got all the things done that I have to do these days. And I just remember running back and forth on the highway. And I did use the shared calendar and I did use apps and so forth. So we'll get more into that later. But if anyone is new here, I wrote a book called Your Name is Joseph. And of course, there it is. Your Name is Joseph. It's available on Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, all the places where you can get books. It's on Kindle. It's an audio book as well, narrated by yours truly. But if you're curious in how I started my caregiving journey when my father had a stroke, Your Name is Joseph is out there, and it details the experience from the day he had his stroke to the 20 something days that I spent down there up to about maybe a little over a month. And it was interesting because I'd lived in Northern Virginia when this happened and he was in Hampton. So again, if you're curious, grab it. It's out there. Your Name is Joseph. Shameless plug, I know, but it's mine, so it's fine. But yeah. So I remember, though, there was one week in particular I went down maybe twice in the week. Like I went down Monday and then I had to come back down Friday or something like that. And I was running on fumes and faith. I'd get to Hampton and, you know, my dad would be like, well, you were just here. I'm like, yeah, I know, but we have an appointment. So, yes, I did have to come back. And of course, I would laugh. So let's talk about the emotional toll, because what people don't talk about enough is the emotional weight of caregiving from a distance. You feel guilty when you're not there. You feel overwhelmed when you get there. And I remember sitting at home with my phone in my hand, waiting on updates from his doctors after following up and feeling helpless, like, is there something else I could be doing, or would this work better if I was down there? And then, of course, there was the fear. What if something happens and I'm not close enough? What if I miss something important? And I remember having those thoughts of being worried to call and he doesn't answer. And I would call people to go knock on his door. And it's like, gosh, if I was down there, I wouldn't have to do all of this. But it was a constant tug of war. And it was definitely a challenge. I'm glad I'm not doing it now. I'm glad I'm local now. But let me share what I learned. I learned that presence isn't just physical. It's emotional. It's spiritual. It's the check-ins. It's the prayers. It's the late night text to just say, I love you and I'm here. It's the random phone call where I would say, hey, Dad, I don't really want anything. I'm just checking on you. And his response would always be something like, well, should I be okay? I'm like, yeah, but I just wanted to ask you if you're okay. Is there something wrong with me? Should there be something wrong with me? And I'm like, come on now. You were there. So I will say that season of being distant taught me a lot. I learned how to advocate from afar. I learned how to coordinate things with his doctors and managing multiple calendars. And that's where that really started for me. I learned how to coordinate stuff with neighbors and some of our really close family and friends. Definitely a lot of use of the technology to stay connected. And I was able to just take care of so many things with the various apps and doing things online. I learned that asking for help isn't a weakness. It was hard, but it isn't a weakness. It's actually wisdom. So being far like that forced me to do something that I was very uncomfortable with, because it was either I take 3 hours to get there or I call his neighbor across the street and say, hey, can you do me a favor and go knock on the door, tell my dad I'm calling him, or, hey, can you drop something off for me, or can you pick him up from something. So it really stretched me, but I learned that it isn't a weakness, and people actually were very receptive and very helpful. I learned that caregiving isn't about perfection. It's about showing up however you can. So whether you're just calling on the phone, delivering groceries yourself, or getting groceries delivered, or doing a weekend visit, it all counts and it all matters. So let me share some tips for those that are doing the long distance caregiving for your loved ones. So if you're in this season, here are some things that helped me. Use the technology to your advantage. There's video calls. We haven't mastered video calls yet with my dad. Like, it's very interesting talking to him because I think he holds the phone at an interesting angle. I don't know if he's looking at me and he doesn't necessarily put the camera where we would normally put the camera. But yes, video calls, shared calendars. I mentioned that over and over and over again. I can't tell you how much that helps me, having a calendar for him, a calendar for me, a calendar for my family, and I can see everything at once, and it helps with coordination. Then there's those medication reminders. It's either alarms on your phone or an entry in your calendar. So use the technology to your advantage. build a local support network. That's either with the neighbors, you got church members, community services. Build that network because they will definitely help when you are far away. And it's just good to have that local support. I remember with my dad, I have, of course, his brother. I have his cousins. I have a lot of his long-term, very good friends. They're in my phone now. I can call and ask them to do things, or they would report back to me. Sometimes they would scare me, though, because my dad, sometimes he would go somewhere. Say he went out of town or stayed at a friend's house or whatever he was doing. And someone would go see him and they see his cars are there, but he doesn't answer the door. So what do? They call me. Hey, I stopped by your father's house and he didn't answer the door. So during that time, I would go from 0 to 10 because I start thinking the worst thing possible. His cars are there. He's not answering the door. He's not answering his phone. So after a little bit of panicking and hyperventilating, I finally get a hold of him and he's somewhere else. He's out of town or he went somewhere with some friends. And then I'm like, why don't you just tell me that? So literally after that incident, because it did startle me, he started telling me before he would leave. If someone wanted to take him somewhere, he would call me first because he knows if people are riding by his house, they're checking on him for me. And if they call me, at least I'll be like, oh yeah, he's at such and such, or he's fine. So that local support network is strong. Trust and believe. It really is. Give yourself grace because you're doing the best you can. And this is actually for me too. Sometimes I'm very hard on myself. Oh, I missed something. I took him to an appointment that was not on the day that we got there and he had to walk a long distance to get to the appointment in the VA. And I felt terrible. And I think I mentioned this in a previous episode. His response was, well, you were the one that had to take time away from what else, you know, other things that you're doing. So I'm okay. I had nothing else to do. That's what he said. He had nothing else to do. He's retired. There's nothing else to do but go to appointments and stuff. But again, give yourself grace. You're doing the best you can. Communicate clearly, communicate often with your loved one and with the team or your network of people just to keep everybody on the same page. I know when I need to step out of town, I call a few people just to let them know. They normally visit my dad or check on him, but they may do it a little more because I'm not local. And when I was away, definitely they did it more often. They still do it. They ride by, especially when the weather is nice. They sit on the porch and count cars with him. It's cute. And lastly, the most important thing, don't forget to take care of yourself. Recharge. Take those self-care micro moments. Like I said, I mentioned in my book, I like Waffle House. So when I was going through that stuff with my dad, I enjoyed going to sit down at the Waffle House, having my coffee and my waffle and my breakfast. And I know I shouldn't be calling out brands on here, but it's okay. It's the Waffle House. I love the Waffle House, whatever. But take your self-care micro moments as often as possible. Recharge, 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 because you can't pour from an empty tank. So if you're loving someone from afar, you're still showing up. Every mile you drive, every call you make, every moment you worry, it's all love in motion. So to you caregivers balancing distance and devotion, I see you, I honor you, and I'm walking this road with you. So until next time, take care of yourself like you take care of everyone else. See ya. And don't forget, you can drop a comment or send a message to caregiverslounge@icloud.com. Goodbye.